I know it's Thanksgiving Sunday. You had a Thanksgiving message last week from Jack. I'm going to continue on our series through Acts this morning. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, reading through to 40. This is the story of Philip and an Ethiopian official who came across each other. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. A young man had just left Wednesday evening Bible study. Sitting in his car, he prayed, "Lord, we studied tonight about your speaking to Samuel. Do you still speak to people today? If you'll speak to me, I'll try to obey." On the way home, he passed a corner grocery store when he heard a loud voice in his head saying, "Buy a gallon of milk." He slammed on his brakes, pulled over, and asked, "Is that you, Lord?" "Buy a gallon of milk," the voice in his head repeated. "This is crazy," he thought. "But if it's the Lord, I told him I would obey. Besides, I can always use milk." He bought the milk and started home when he heard the voice again, "Turn down this street and stop." He did so reluctantly, all the while asking himself, "Am I going crazy?" Again, the voice prompted him, "Take the milk to that house." The small row house was dark. It was late, and the occupants appeared to be asleep. Sheepishly, the young man knocked on the door. Then he saw a door opening from a lighted room down the hall. The man opened the front door and stared at him. Trembling, the young man said, "I don't know why, but I felt I should bring you some milk." The man grabbed the milk and ran down the hall, shouting in Spanish. A young woman carrying a baby came to the door with tears streaming down her face. She explained in broken English, "We had no money to buy milk for her baby, so I prayed and asked God to send an angel with some milk." "Are you an angel?" The young man explained his strange urge to bring milk to their house. Then before he left, he gave them all the money he had in his wallet. He left praising God and thanking him that God still does speak to people today, if we'll only listen to his voice. We see in this passage that we've just read the story of another man almost 2,000 years ago who heard and responded to the voice of God. He received what at first seemed to be very strange instructions. Philip, who is one of the original seven deacons who were chosen to distribute food among the widows, had an angel tell him to go south on the road the desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Remember, this isn't the apostle Philip. This was one of the seven deacons. He was a layman. He was a regular guy, but a guy who was open to God speaking to him through an angel and by his Spirit. A lot of us are too busy for God to get our attention. Our minds are on family, our jobs, or sometimes we're even so busy in church that we aren't available to obey God when he calls us to do something out of the routine. How about you? Are you available if God wants you to suddenly deliver a gallon of milk to some of his needy children? If you want God to use you, you need to make yourself available when he calls. You need to be ready for your plans to be changed to adapt to his. I know I've shared with you before about a time when a group of us were in North Bay. We'd been assigned to pray at each of the gates, the north, south, east, and west gates of the city, in preparation for some special services at the church, and a guest speaker. I think his name was Clive Pick. I don't know why I remember his name, but I seem to remember his name. I can't remember Ruth's name. I mean Jane's name, but I can remember Clive Pick from years and years ago. As I was heading to the north end of the city, where I had been praying for the week, this was now Friday, I heard God tell me this morning, go to the south gate. And so when I got to Algonquin, I went to go south instead of north. I didn't know why, but when I got to the south end, it was a much wider, more open kind of vista than in the north. In the north, the highway is very closed in, the trees kind of come in from either side. It's kind of straight and narrow, but the south end of town is just wide open. And so it led me to pray differently than I've been praying earlier in the week. I still didn't understand. It only became clear once the weekend meetings were underway. The themes of the messages and the themes of the prayers that I was led to pray on the south gate meshed. They came together. They aligned with each other. It was a kind of a weird request and one which I could have easily ignored, but I'm glad I didn't. That's kind of one of the amazing things here in this story about Philip. He could have easily dismissed the request to go south. Admittedly, ignoring an angel might have been more difficult than the thought that was planted in my head, but Philip was having great success preaching Jesus to the Samaritans. You can read about it in the first verses of this chapter. Many Samaritans were getting saved. A revival was happening. The church in Jerusalem sent Peter and John down to check things out. Things were so exciting. And there's very little that can compare to revival. It would have been very tempting for Philip to say, I'm not going to go down some desert road. That's not a very nice road. There's nobody out there. Things are happening here. I want to stay here and be part of the exciting things you're doing here in Samaria. But he didn't do that because he is ready to go wherever and whenever God called. And so he headed down the road not knowing where or why he was going. He only knew that that's where God wanted him to go. It wasn't until he was on the road that this Ethiopian eunuch came along in his chariot. This fellow was an important official in the charge of the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. This guy had risen from being a slave to becoming the personal business manager, treasurer, and confidant of the queen herself. He traveled all the way from his country in Africa up through Egypt along the coast of the Mediterranean to Jerusalem. He was in search of the true God. He must have tried many religions in Africa. Surely he checked out the multiple gods of Egypt on his way through. He'd gone right on past the Canaanite gods of Philistia and Gaza, but when he got to Jerusalem, he found in Judaism only an empty shell of religion, and it was so disappointing. He was now returning home, still not having found what he was looking for. But the Spirit of God had been working on him for some time now. It created a God-shaped vacuum in his heart that only God himself could fill. We need to remember that when God leads us by his Spirit to talk to somebody, he's been preparing that person to hear what we have to say. We get so scared about sharing our testimony, sharing our witness of what God's done in our lives and what he might do in theirs, because we think it's us trying to convince them of something. But God's been trying to convince them of something long before we come along. He just brings us to add one more piece to what he's been doing in our life already. God had set up this encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian. As the chariot caught up and was passing by Philip heard the Ethiopian reading from Isaiah 53. Verse 32 talks about a lamb being silent as he's brought to be killed for a sacrifice. This eunuch may well have offered a lamb for sacrifice when he was in Jerusalem, but he found it didn't satisfy his need for the sin that he had in his life. And although it's not quoted here in Acts 8, Isaiah 53:6 says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what the eunuch was looking for. Someone, something, somehow, how do I get my sin taken care of? How do I become forgiven? And so he asked Philip, who's the passage about? Philip began with that scripture, we're told, and preached Jesus. He'd found the answer to his lifelong search. He believed the gospel, and he was saved. We don't know all that Philip may have said to him. He may well have shared that what Peter had said, that people needed to be baptized after they repented, when he addressed the crowd at Pentecost. Whatever he said, when they came upon some water, the eunuch asked, is there any reason why he couldn't now be baptized? And Philip baptized him on the spot. Then the next amazing thing happened. When they came up out of the water, Philip was gone. He was whisked away by the Spirit to another place where he was needed. We're told that Philip appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Wherever God called, whenever God called, Philip responded to his call. And we're told the eunuch went on his way, rejoicing. Now, Christian tradition tells us that the eunuch's first convert when he started sharing his newfound faith was Queen Candace herself. He went home and shared with the boss what he just learned, and she came to faith. Years later, when the first missionaries arrived in Ethiopia, they found a thriving church that had begun with the testimony of this official, this eunuch that had returned to Ethiopia. God wants us to be ready wherever and whenever he calls us to share the good news. There are a lot of people out there who are hungry for God. They're hoping someone will chase their chariot, if you will, or bring them a gallon of milk, the milk of the gospel. Will you be one of his people? Legend recounts the return of Jesus to heaven after his time on earth. He returned bearing the marks of his earthly pilgrimage with his cruel cross and shameful death, his scars. Angel Gabriel approached him and said, Master, you must have suffered terribly for the people down there. I did, said Jesus. Gabriel continued, do they now know all about how you love them and what you did for them? Oh, no, said Jesus, not yet. Right now, only a handful of people in Palestine know. Gabriel was perplexed. Then what have you done, he asked, to let all people know about your love for them? Well, I've asked Peter and James, John, Philip, and a few others to tell people about me. Those who are told will in turn tell others, and the gospel will be spread to the farthest reaches of the globe. Ultimately, all of humankind will hear about me and what I've done on their behalf. Gabriel frowned and looked skeptical. Many people weren't dependable. And what if Peter and James and John and Philip got weary? What if the people who came after forget? And what if way down in the 20th or 21st centuries, people get too busy to bother telling others about you? Haven't you made other plans? No, I've made no other plans, Gabriel, Jesus answered. I'm counting on them. It's been said that the Christian faith is only one generation away from extinction. That's because with each generation comes the renewed responsibility to take the good news of the gospel to the world. And so I ask this morning, are you doing your part? The Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We all know that we're supposed to share the good news of Jesus with other people. In this passage, we have a prime example of Philip, one who heard God's call and was obedient. How often have you felt God nudging you and pushed it aside? We have all sorts of excuses. Not now, I'm too busy. That's just too weird. That couldn't be God. I must be hearing things. If that was God, he'll come back. I'll do it tomorrow. But sometimes tomorrow is too late. What if Philip had waited till the next day? He would not have found the man who would establish the Christian faith in Ethiopia. Sometimes we just don't hear the still, small voice of God prompting us because we're not listening for it. There's an old story that goes like this. A Native American and his friend were in downtown New York City, walking near Times Square in Manhattan. It was during the noon lunch hour. The streets were filled with people. Cars were honking their horns. Taxi cabs were squealing around the corners. Sirens were wailing, and the sounds of the city were almost deafening. Suddenly, the Native American said, I hear a cricket. His friend said, what? You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all this noise. No, I'm sure of it, the Native American said. I heard a cricket. The Native American listened carefully for a moment, and then he walked across the street to a big cement planter where some shrubs were growing. He looked there into the bushes and beneath the branches, and sure enough, he located a small cricket. His friend was utterly amazed. That's incredible. You must have superhuman ears. No, my ears are no different than yours. It all depends what you're listening for. But that can't be, said his friend. I could never hear a cricket in this noise. Well, yeah, that's true. It depends on what's really important to you. Here, let me show you. He reached into his pocket, pulled out a few coins, and discreetly dropped them on the sidewalk. And then, with the noise of the crowded street still blaring in their ears, they noticed that every person within 20 feet turned to look to see if that was their money that tinkled on the pavement. Was it theirs? See what I mean, he said? It all depends on what's important to you. So what's important to you? What do you listen for? Some people say there is no God, or if there is one, he never speaks to us anymore. But perhaps they can't see or hear him because they aren't listening for him. If you're listening for God, you'll be able to hear him when he speaks. We need to remember to listen, to hear, and to obey. We are never alone. If we want to be like the Philips of the world, we need to get rid of the things that distract us away from him and towards the things that bring us closer to him. It does not just happen. We have to be intentional about it. We will be shining examples one way or another, either good ones or bad ones, by our actions and our words. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this account of Philip, who in the midst of exciting ministry, in the midst of a revival when things were happening, he heard your voice to go south on a desert road to meet one man. But it was a man that you used to bring the gospel to Ethiopia. And from there, he was drawn back into other ministries. Wherever and whenever you wanted him, he he responded. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be ready to respond to you wherever and wherever and whenever to your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.